Well, keep your eye on our Facebook page and our website for all the announcements and upcoming stuff. Really want you guys to help us too when we have our February 11th grand opening. We want it to be a big Sunday, and we want you guys to invite your family and your friends to be part of that day. It's going to be a really, really special event, and we're going to do some cool stuff that day, and it's going to be awesome. So we hope you guys will plan to make it for that. We're starting a new series today called Messy Me. And I don't know about you, have you ever been called a mess? Has anybody ever looked at you and said, you're a mess? Over Christmas break, my mother looked at me and she said, Michael, you're a mess. And it really got to me, like really, really down deep, you know what I mean? I don't know, there's something about that word. And the reason she called me a mess is because I told you guys this over our Christmas service, is that Braden got a fever, and so he was sick over his birthday and Christmas and stuff, and we were in Topeka, and he had a fever that would, you know, fluctuate and stuff. And so I might get a little bit anxious whenever the kids get sick. The first thing that may come to my head is that, well, we need to go to the hospital and they might die. You know, I may jump to like the worst case scenario and I might go a bit negative with it, maybe, possibly. And my wife may have told my mother about this, and then my mother may have come to me and said, Michael, you're a mess. Get a hold of yourself. But she did. She came to me and she goes, you're a mess, Michael. This is ridiculous. Why are you thinking this way? Stop this. Get a hold of yourself. And I really took offense to it because I don't know if you've ever been called a mess, but it just sounds like a mean word. Like, I think it should be a curse word that we shouldn't say. And so I tried to find some comfort in what my mother was calling me. And so I did a little research on the word mess. Now, the first definition that I found that was going to be up on the screen is in terms of food, right? If you look up like the food version, a prepared dish of soft food, a mixture of ingredients cooked or eaten together. So like, you know, the military came up with this term because they didn't have like, you know, a portion of this and a portion of that. They would just throw it all together. It was a mess of stuff, right? It was a mixture of stuff. I don't think this is what my mom was talking about. And so I dug a little further. I went to definition B, and then this is what I found. I think this is more a disordered, untidy, offensive, unpleasant, sloppy state, a dangerous situation. Now, do you see why I was offended by being called a mess? My mother, in one word, my mother looked at me and she said, Michael, you are disordered, you are untidy, you are offensive, you are unpleasant, and you are in a dangerous place right now. All in one word, only four letters, and this is what my mother called me. Now, I did a little bit more research, so the mess changed, okay? In the 19th century, we're talking about food. In the 20th century, this is what we turned to. But in the 21st century, the kids, they've reordered the word a little bit. We have a new meaning for mess. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this term, hot mess. You ever heard of this? Hot mess? You're a hot mess? This is the definition of hot mess. A person is in a state of disarray, they're a mess, but they maintain an undeniable attractiveness or beauty. I like that, right? And so I thought to myself, okay, well, that's me though. I might be a mess, but I'm going to try to be a hot mess, okay? I'm going to try to hide my anxiety. I'm going to act like I have it all together and it's all good. I'll be a hot mess. And it is. It's like a term of endearment now, right? Like if you're a hot mess, it's like being a bad boy, right? So everybody turn to the person next to you and look at them and say, you're a hot mess. Especially Larry Talley. You're a hot mess. You are a hot mess. Sorry, when we have low attendance, I start just sniping people, okay? You're a hot mess, right? But, you know, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about how my mother, you know, really hurt my feelings and really offended me a whole lot. And I started going into these terms and looking at everything else, and the term hot mess gave me a little bit of hope, but as I prayed about it, and as I thought about it, and I went to God with the offensive words that my mother called me and all this stuff, I found some peace in my heart, and I wanted to share it with you today. I thought, this is the way we need to start the new year. This is why I can't cancel church. People need to hear this. This is the good word, and I don't want people to miss this, and so we've got to have church, and we've got to make sure people do this. Because I went to God, and I said, God, you know, my mother, she called me a mess. In four letters, she said I was offensive, I was untidy, I was in a bad place, I was a danger to everybody around me. And so I went to God and he gave me this word. And he said, Michael, he said, well, this is what I want you to know. And this is what I want you to share to your people. So don't cancel church, even if it's inclement weather. And make sure that they know this, okay? So this is the word that God gave me. It's gonna be on the screen. I'm a mess, but you're a mess too. See how that made me feel better? I went to God and I said, God, I'm a mess. And he said, it's okay, Michael. All of the other people at your church are a mess too. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's dismiss. No. But seriously, this is what God told me. He said, Michael, it's okay because everybody else that you know is a mess too. All your people at your church, your mother even, she's a mess, Michael. They're all a bunch of messes. It's okay. You are not alone, so have hope. And it did. It gave me a lot of joy, and that's why I wanted to tell you today. But if you think about it for a minute. You are, aren't you? I mean, come on, let's be honest, all right? Let's be transparent. Let's drop our defenses. You're a mess too. Right now, you might even be in between messes, or there might be a mess that you're in, or there's probably even a mess coming up. But every single one of us in this room, we are a mess right now. Your finances are a mess. Your spending is a mess. Your relationships are a mess. Your marriage is a mess right now. Your relationship with your kids is a mess right now. Your relationship with your parents is a mess right now. Some of you are married to a mess. And you told your mom and dad, when I marry him, everything's going to change. We just got to put a ring on it. They're going to be different. But it didn't turn out that way, did it? And you married a mess. Or right now, your job is a mess. Right now, your habits, maybe right now, your health is a mess right now. And you're in the middle of this mess, and you don't know exactly what you're going to do. Some of us are dating a mess or dated a mess in the past. Some of us have messes all around us. And yes, I'll admit it. I'm a mess. I get anxious sometimes. I can easily stress out. But here's the thing, is that you're a mess too. Every single one of us have our messes. Every single one of us mess up. Every single one of us at one point or time in our life have said, I've messed up. I made a mess of this. I'm a mess. I feel so messy right now. We're a mess. And we have these messes in our lives. And we don't know exactly what to do with them. But a lot of us, we attempt to deal with our mess by being a hot mess, right? We have this mess going on, but we don't want anybody to know about it. And so what we do is we turn into a hot mess, which is where on the outside, we look like we're fine. On the outside, we look like we're all together. We look good. We look attractive. But on the inside, we're still a mess. You know, our marriage is a mess right now. Our relationship is a mess right now. But man, you would know. Because when we're around people, we keep up appearances. We put a smile on our faces. We hold hands, we stand next to each other, and nobody would know that we have marriage troubles. But the truth is that when we get home or when we get alone or when we start talking to each other, our marriage is a mess right now. And we're having problems. But we cover it up, we hide it. People ask us how we're doing, we go, I'm fine, I'm okay, thanks for asking. Things are good, but they're not good right now, are they, truly? Our finances are a mess. But we keep up appearances. We're a hot mess. Man, we still buy cars we can't afford. We buy houses we can't afford. We buy clothes that we can't afford. We go out and dish out money. We go on trips that we can't afford. Even though our finances and our spending are a mess, you would never know. We look like we're very well off. We look like we have it all together. But the truth is that we don't. The truth is that we're a mess right now. The truth is that we're in debt. The truth is that our spending is out of control, and we don't know what we're doing, and we're not very organized, and we're a hot mess right now. We can even do it as parents, right? Sometimes, man, our kids, they are stressing us out. They are driving us crazy. We feel like don't know what we're doing. We feel like we are a bad parent. We feel totally unequipped to handle this situation. But you wouldn't know it because every time they do something crazy or silly or something that probably should, you know, get us arrested, or our mother calls us and said, what in the world are you letting those kids do? You know, it's cool. We can just like post a pic of it and put it on Facebook or something and go, isn't that funny? Ha ha ha, let's laugh it off. It's not a big deal. I've got complete control of these kids. Everything is fine, but it's not. Because inside, in your heart, the reality is that you feel like you're a mess. You feel like you have no clue what you're doing with this kid. You feel totally enabled as a parent. But you're a hot mess because you don't want to let people know. And see, and that's the thing that we all have in common. There's a common thing that we all have. We're all a mess, but the other common thing that we all have is that nobody wants to talk about their mess. Nobody wants to admit that they're a mess. No, nobody wants to admit, look, this is what I've got going on. This is what I'm dealing with. We keep to ourselves and we pretend that we have it all together. But if we were honest about it, deep inside, even though we don't want to talk about it, even though we would never admit it to ourselves, deep inside, the thing that we wish would happen, we would be so happy about, it would give us so much peace and so much relief, is if somebody else called us and admitted that they were a mess too. We would never do it because we're a hot mess. We are pretending to have everything together. But oh, deep inside, the thing that would make our day, the thing that would make us so happy is if our phone rang and we picked it up and we said, hey, I'm a mess. I don't know about you, but man, my kid is out of control. Like, I don't know about you, but does your kid wake up in the middle of the night and go poop in the toilet and try to wipe themselves and get only like 71% of it and then go touch all the food in the fridge and you just feel like you need to destroy the place and you just feel like you have no clue what you're doing, they don't listen to you, and do you feel like you're a mess sometimes? Because I'm a mess, and I'm telling you, as a parent, I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. Every mother in this room just sighed and said, oh, please, someone call me today. Because if you have a toddler, if you have a baby, if you have a teenager, inside you wish somebody would admit that to you. Because finally, you could let your defenses down and you could go, oh, I'm glad somebody else said it because I'm a mess too. Or we wish, guys, we wish we would never do it because we're a hot mess and we act like, oh, no, not me, ever, ever. But if another guy called us and said, hey, man, I've just got to admit, I've got to tell somebody, I'm a mess right now. Man, dude, it's like I'm lustful all the time. I don't know what God put in our bodies, but I mean, every girl I see, I think these things and I look at porn and I do things I know I shouldn't. And you know what, even sometimes, like, I wonder if I even did the right thing. I wondered if maybe I married her for the wrong reasons, or maybe I second-guessed myself, and you know, I'm tempted, and I lust, and I just need to tell somebody, I'm a mess. Every guy in this room would go, oh, finally, we could talk about this, me too. Whew, because I hide it, and I pretend, and I act like I would never would, and my wife asked me, and I go, oh, not me, baby. But the truth is that I'm a mess, and that's the truth, and that's who I really am. And oh, to not have to be a hot mess and pretend. Or oh, it would be so nice if somebody else called me and said, hey man, I've got to tell you this. I'm a mess. I'm in debt right now. I'm in debt. I have no clue what I'm doing. I tell people I have a budget, but that's a made up word. And the truth is that I don't. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know if we can afford things. And we don't know how to spend our money well. We just, checks come in and money comes out. We don't even know what we have in the bank account right now. And I just got to admit, I'm a mess. And oh man, probably half the people in this room would go, oh man, me too. Could we do something about this? Could we stop pretending like we're well off? Because man, I bet if we all work together, we could be a whole lot better off. I mean, wow, wouldn't it be nice to know that there were other people in this room that also had messy finances or messy relationships? Or oh man, see, nobody wants to sign up for marriage, get married people getaway because everybody in this room wants to pretend like they have a happy, perfect marriage, right? Oh, we don't need married people getaway. Are you going to married people? We're not going to married people getaway because we don't need that. I mean, we're happy. We're fine. But the truth is that if everybody were honest and said, look, our marriage gets messy too. And we need this marriage retreat. We need time away from the kids. We need a date night because we're not good about that. Or you know what? We don't have all the answers, but Pastor Mike and Kate probably do. And so you know what? We need to go to Married People Getaway. See, that's a lie right there too. But we need to go to marriage retreat and we need that. If everybody were there and admitted that and we're able to go, hey, let's learn from one another. Let's all make our marriages better. Let's make this work and let's find a way to make this not so messy. All the relief we would have. See, here's the thing. You should find peace in this message today. Don't take offense to it. Don't feel like you're found out. Because it gave me peace, but it should also give you peace. That to know that you're a mess and you walked in here and you're very self-aware of your own messes. And you are a mess. But here's the thing. Everybody else in this room, they're a mess too. Everybody else in this room, their marriages have gotten messy. Their finances have gotten messy. Their habits have gotten messy. Their health has gotten messy. Their relationship with their kids and their parents, it's gotten messy as well. We should all find peace and hope in that, knowing that we're all in the same boat. That even though my life is messy, other people's lives are messy too. We are in a room full of people who are divorced, addicted, mean, greedy, selfish, ignorant, weak, emotional, bad parents, bad siblings, bad children, and bad bosses and coworkers. We're all on the same boat. We know it so because Paul even told, when Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, this is what he said to him in Romans. He said, here's what you guys need to know. Everyone sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We've all messed up. We've all turned on God. We've all done selfish things. We've all reacted badly. We've all been emotional. We've all been greedy. We've all acted out of anger. We've all taken things too far. Every single person on the face of the planet has made a mess of themselves, or made a mess of somewhere else, or been in a messy situation, or been a mess. And you know, for us, a lot of people, that's what we know in our hearts. And it's also something that Jesus talked about a whole lot. One of the things that Jesus came to do is make sure that everybody knew that they were a mess and that we shouldn't judge one another, that we shouldn't, you know, point at people and go, you're bad and I'm better than you, because we're all messy people and we all have these messy lives. And he said this in Matthew 7, 1 through 6. He said, do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use to judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Jesus said so many different times in so many different ways. Guess what? We're all messy people. Everybody's sinned. So don't look at other people and their messes and go, oh my goodness, they're messy. Their messy is the messiest of them all. No, a mess is a mess, is what Jesus said. Sin is sin. It's all the same. Everybody's got a messy life and everybody's got messes. And that's one of the things that Jesus came to be known. He said, let the person who is without sin throw the first stone. You guys shouldn't be judging each other and pointing your fingers and commenting on Facebook about each other's messes, because you all got your own mess. Now, here's what the world does with that. Everybody finds peace and hope with that. Okay, I can find relief in that. I'm not the only messy person around. There are other messy people all around me. Everybody's got their mess. And a lot of us take comfort in that, and the world has kind of discovered this too. But then what the world tempts us to do is to take that news and to take that information and go, okay, so I got a mess and they got a mess. And what they come up with is, you know what we should do? Here's the logical next step. Let's leave each other to each other's messes, right? Nobody's perfect is how we say it today in our culture. Nobody's perfect. And in the church world, we talked about this in our last series, nobody's perfect, but God forgives. So what are we going to do with this? We've all got a mess. I've got a mess. You got a mess. What are we going to do? Let's leave each other to our messes. Don't talk about my mess. I won't talk about yours. You leave your mess over there. I'll leave my mess over here. Nobody's perfect, but God forgives. Good. Great. So let's just continue through our cycle of messes and continue to go to God, ask for forgiveness, because that's what he did. He died to clean up our messes, and then let's just leave it at that, right? Nobody's perfect, but God forgives. Let's leave one another to our messes. But here's the problem with that. There's two huge problems with that kind of, really theology is what I would call it, the way you believe things work and are, there's two things. One of them is a practical reason why that's not going to work. The other is a spiritual reason why that's not going to work. Well, I'll give you the practical one first, because if you're not spiritual, you'll at least understand this one, okay? The practical reason why that is not going to work is because when you leave a mess by itself, it eventually will turn into a disaster, okay? You leave a mess by itself to itself for long enough, and what you will get is a disaster. At my house, this past fall, the water heater broke, right? So the water heater broke and all this stuff, because we got really hard water and stuff, so stuff built up. They couldn't even, they turned the drain and nothing even came out, because there was all this stuff and gunk built up at the bottom of the water heater. It took three guys to pull it out of the basement. And so it was totally full of this stuff, and they gave me a new water heater. And they said, hey, look, you guys have got really hard water. You got all this stuff that's going to collect at the bottom of your water heater, because this is a brand new water heater that only lasted 5 years. And they said, look, the same thing is going to happen to this next water heater. feeder. Unless every 3 to 6 months you flush the whole system, you get that mess out of there, that mess is going to build up and you've got to flush it and you've got to get it out. Because if you don't, you're going to just end up with a disaster on your hands. You leave that mess alone and you leave that mess there, it's just going to build up and build up and build up to the point where you're going to have a disaster. And do you know what? In my head, what a disaster is? A disaster is when you have to rebuild, replace, or redo something. That's a disaster in my head, okay? That's the difference. And so here's the thing. When you've got a mess you can clean up. A mess you can adjust. But a disaster, when you let it go too far, it gets to the point where it's a disaster. And a disaster, it's to the point where it just can't be cleaned up. It's got to be rebuilt, it's got to be replaced, or it's got to be redone. And here's the thing. We want to leave our messes alone. You got a mess and I got a mess. Let's just leave our messes to ourselves. You know, my wife, whenever people come over, she goes into DEFCON 5. And we clean the house like crazy, especially when our neighbors are coming over because they have the nicest, cleanest house in the world. And it's exactly like our house except for clean. We have the same model home, but theirs is just like a Hotel 8 staff just came through, right? So my wife goes into DEFCON 5, and I say the same thing to her every time. Honey, it's fine, okay? We have toddlers. They'll understand, okay? I'm sure they've seen a messy home before. It's probably not going to be the last messy home that they ever see. Everybody's seen a mess. I bet they got their own messes. Can we just clean it a little bit? Why do we have to get rid of everything? Why do we have to clean everything? It's okay. Everybody's got their mess. But here's the problem with that. Practically, when we leave it to that, and when that's our theology and that's what we do, we end up with disasters on our hand. You may be having marriage problems right now. And some of you know exactly where I'm going with this because you ended up in a disaster. But you have a messy marriage right now and you're like, it's fine, it's cool, we don't need help, we don't need to talk about it, it's embarrassing, I don't want to admit that we have a messy marriage, I don't want to go to married people getaway, I don't want to do that. But here's the thing, you leave that marriage mess alone long enough and what will end up is you'll have a disaster on your hands. What will happen is you will get to the point where you have to rebuild, replace, or redo. That's where you get to a divorce because you didn't address the mess quick enough. You left the mess alone. You said, everybody's got messy marriages. We don't need to address the mess. We don't need to talk about the mess. Let's just leave the mess be. And it ended up in a disaster. You leave a financial mess alone long enough and things will have to be rebuilt and redone. And you'll have things taken from you. You'll have things repossessed. You'll be kicked out of your home. Debt is not a silly thing or a thing to be messed with. You leave a financial mess long enough, and you'll find yourself in a disaster of a situation. Even health habits. You know, health habits, messy health things. You know, you go to the doctor and they'll say, well, just take this one pill. We'll deal with that cholesterol. We'll just deal with that acid reflux with this one little pill. And we leave the mess there long enough. We leave the unhealthy lifestyle there long enough. And then all of a sudden what we find is just over the years, they just keep upping the prescription. And then there's two pills. And then there's three pills. And then there's insulin. And then there's a shot. And then there's a thing attached to your side. And all of a sudden the messy health situations, it just keeps piling on until you find out you're in a disaster. Until you find out that something, you have something that can't just be fixed with a little pill or a little change in your diet, but now it's gotten to the point where something's got to be replaced, something's got to be rebuilt, something's got to be redone because we found ourselves in a disaster. Why? Because we left that mess there too long. Because we didn't address the mess. And in any situation, with your kids, with your parents, in your relationships, in your emotions, in your characteristics, like anger, greed, or lust, you can leave those messes there and say, everybody's got a mess. Nobody's perfect, but God forgives. But you leave that mess there long enough, and I guarantee you, because I've seen it so many times, you will find yourself in a disaster of a situation. Now, that's the practical terms that whether you love Jesus or not, everybody in this room can wrap their head around, okay? But here's the thing. There's also a spiritual problem with that. Because here's the thing. Jesus didn't just come to tell people, everybody's got a mess, but God forgives. Jesus came to save you from your mess. He didn't just come to clean you from your mess or clean up your mess and go, I got this one. This one's on me. I'll forgive you for this mess, and I'll forgive you for all the rest of the messes. Jesus didn't come to just clean up our messes. He came to save us from our messes. We all know that verse, right? For all have sinned. A lot of people can memorize that verse and know that verse, but a lot of people can't tell you what it says right before that. We like to cherry pick that verse and goes, everybody, nobody's perfect, but God forgives. Everybody sinned. Everybody falls short. See? But what it says right before that, when we look at what Paul said, Paul says this in Romans. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Meaning, it's not about behavior. It's not about being perfect, but he's given us a way to be right, to get away from the mess, to not be messy anymore. And then he goes on, he says, as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago, everything we talked about in the Christmas story this last series. And we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned and all fallen short. I love the way Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases it. I don't read this in my personal times of study, but sometimes he paraphrases it and just really gets us to where we are. He says this in the Message. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Meaning, there's not a difference between you or me or us or them or the blacks and the whites or the Christians and the Muslims. Every single person has messed up or has made a mess of their lives. And since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners and proved both us and them and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives that God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by the means of Jesus Christ. Now you read that. It doesn't say that Jesus came to clean up our messes. He came to restore us from our messes. He came to make us different. He came to make us non-messy people. We cannot live a life. We cannot live in a world, and we cannot operate as people and families or as a country of looking at one another and going, you got a mess. I got a mess. Let's leave one another to our messes. It's not practical, because it'll end up leading into a disaster. But the other thing as Christians is that it's not right theologically, because God didn't come to clean up our messes. He came to save us from our messes. Here's the thing. I used to be a sinner, and then Jesus came into my life and showed me my mess, showed me messes I didn't even know I had. Showed me things that I thought were okay, but they ended up to be very, very messy. And he said, look, these things in your life, they're going to lead to a disaster. And it's not the life that I want for you. It's not the life I imagined for you. It's not the life I created you for. So here's the thing. I want to give you an opportunity to be restored, to be made right, to change. And I gave my life to Christ. And at that point on, I was no longer a sinner. I was a child of God. But even as a child of God, I can still be tempted to mess up. I can still step into messes even unintentionally. And that's the thing, is a lot of us, we can talk about that past life, that thing, those things we used to do, and we go, oh yeah, I used to be a sinner. I used to be a messy person. I used to be a bad place. And then I found Jesus. And then we like to act like once we found Jesus, we were perfect. Then we lived by the law and we did all the perfect things right and we never made a mess again. But here's the truth, is that I'm no longer a sinner. I don't have to manage my sin anymore. But it doesn't mean that I'm not still a messy person, because I'm still a human being. I'm still a man. I'm still a leader who doesn't have all of the answers. And so I still mess up. Sometimes unintentionally, I sometimes am tempted just like everybody else. But you know what that causes me to do? It doesn't just cause me to throw up my hands in the air and go, well, I'm a guy. A guy's a guy.
Well, everybody gets angry. Everybody blows up. Everybody has their own thing. Yeah, my thing's anxiety. No, it's not what I do. My mess and my temptation to mess things up, it doesn't call me to just throw my hands up in the air and give up. It draws me to God. It draws me to God. And that is exactly what our messes should do. Because it can lead to a disaster, and because it's not what Jesus came to do. My messes should draw me closer to God. It should draw me to want to be with God, to spend time with God. Over Christmas break, Kate and I, man, our families, they do not eat the way we eat. And it was Braden's birthday, and it was Christmas, so I think I ate about 26 cookies, 5 cupcakes, an upside-down pie, and something with some kind of, Captain Cherry Blossom Hawaiian vodka cake or something. I don't know what it was. All these weird, crazy things. I don't know what it was. I really need to get the name right of that cake. But we ate all these bad foods, and I told Kate, I'm like, oh my goodness, when we go back, we gotta get back in the gym. Like, as soon as we were back Monday morning, I was like, we got a rum cake. That's what it was. Man, that's a big difference between what I was saying. Anyway, so I'm like, Kate, as soon as we get back, we gotta get back into CrossFit. We gotta go to class Monday morning. We gotta go get back into our routine. We gotta go buy our food and stuff. Like, I had to get back. I was drawn back into it because I recognized that, oh, I felt messy. And I needed it. I needed to work out, and I needed to get back to my habits and stuff. And that's exactly what our messes should do. Our messes should go, oh my goodness, I need this so bad. I need God. I need to be around God. I need to pray today. I need it because I'm a messy person, and I need it. And I need to pray to God, and I need worship this morning. You know what? This morning, I knew the conditions were iffy, but here's my thing. This morning, I needed church. And if I could get to church, and I could drive home from church safely and slowly and make it, then that was fine by me, because this morning, I needed to worship my God. I needed that this morning. I had such a fun time playing the cajon and closing my eyes and worshiping God this morning, because I've been away from you guys, and I wanted to worship with my church family, even if it was just a handful of us. I needed that this morning, and you came this morning because you knew you needed this morning. And I needed that this morning. And then the other thing is, I need to be around other people who know that they have messy lives too. I'm not looking for friends or people who want to be hot messes and act like they're perfect and act like they got their life together and not be honest. I want to be around messy people who are also relying and drawing towards God because they know they've got a mess and they know He's the only person who can fix it. I need other parents who admit that they're not perfect parents and they screw up too, and we can deal with our messes together. I need other married couples who know that their marriage is a mess too, and we can work together and draw to God and use Him to help us have strong, lasting, good, blessed marriages. I need other people whose finances are crazy too, but who are tithing, who are coming together to make a difference in their community. I need that. And that's what my messes cause me to do. They draw me to God, and they draw me to other people who admit that they have messes too. I don't just leave it alone, and I don't just go, well, I've got a mess and you've got a mess. You go be messy over there and I'll be messy over here. No, it's not what Jesus came to do, and it's not the life that I want to live. I don't want to live a messy life, and I don't want to be a mess. And luckily enough, we've got this church, and we've got these awesome people, and we've got a Savior who came to save us from our messes. I think what we really ought to do is we ought to pray the same prayer that David prayed in the Psalms. He wrote this awesome prayer, and he said this, and me, God, he's talking to God, God, I'm a mess, and I am nothing, and I have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it, and you've got what it takes, but God, don't put it off. Here's the thing, I'm a mess. Even saved from my sin, even a good Christian, a law-abiding citizen who, whenever I die, is going to go to heaven. But that's not enough for me. Because in this life that I have here, I'm still tempted to mess things up, and I still do step into my messes. And I want a life that's mess-free, and I can't do it on my own, and I am nothing. But I believe that He can. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to put it off any longer. I don't want to wait for a New Year's resolution, or I don't want to wait until I'm healthy enough. You know, as a CrossFit coach, I hear that all the time. Well, I'll do CrossFit whenever I get fit enough to do CrossFit. That's not how it works. It's the same thing with God. Well, I'll come to church when I get, you know, godly enough to come to church. It's not how it works. I don't want to put it off any longer. I want him to do it, and I want him to do it now. What about you? You've walked in here this morning aware of your messes. But I think you came here today, and I think you weathered the storm, and I think you were here because you know you've got a mess, and you needed this today as much as I needed this today. And whoever watches this online or hears this through our podcast, they're going to be sitting in their car or watching this on their computer or their phone, and they're going to, in their head, know too, I've got my messes. Well, what are you going to do with it? You're going to leave it alone, and you're going to say, well, I got a mess, you got a mess. Let's leave ours to our messes. Are you going to say, you know what? What I need is I need God. And I need God in the midst of my mess. I need God. I need you to come because I am nothing. And I know you can do it. And you have what it takes. And God, don't put it off any longer. Let's not make our excuses. Let's not, you know, save this for the new year or anything like that. Let's do this now. God, free me of my messes. Clean up my messes. Forgive me of my messes. But also restore me and make me new. Make me right. Make me mess free, God. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray this morning. And you know what? Maybe this morning you need to pray that prayer. That prayer is going to be on the screen. If you need to pray something, here's a prayer that you can pray that's very simple. But as we talk to God this morning, let's come to him with our messes. And let's not be a hot mess any longer. Let's let God fully in, be totally transparent with him and show him all the ugliness we have so he can restore us and transform our lives. God, this morning we come to you. And God, we've got our messes, we've got our things going on, but God, we come to you totally transparent and honest about our messes that we have today. God, we come to you, and this is my mess right now, Lord. This is what I've got going on. I'm a messy person, and I've stepped into this mess, or I've got this relational mess going on. And God, I need you, and I don't want to put it off any longer. I need you, and so I'm coming to you, and I want you in my life. I want you to forgive me of these messes, but I also want you to make me new. God, get rid of this. Help show me what it's going to take to not continue to step into this mess in my life. God, continue to show me what it's going to take. Transform me. God, I don't want to be a lustful person anymore. God, I don't want to be addicted to this problem anymore. God, I don't want this habit anymore. God, I want my health to be cleaned up and cleared up. God, I need you to do this in my life. Will you do this for me? Will you be my Savior? Will you be the righteous King that I know you are? And will you make me right with your Father in heaven? God, do something inside of me that I cannot do myself. That's what I'm asking of you this morning. Because I want to live the way that you've called me to live. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to be tied up in all these messes that I have and say, well, I'm too busy. I'm at home and I've got to clean this mess up. Or I'm constantly trying to take care of this mess over here. I can't help anybody else or I can't serve anywhere else because I got this mess myself. God, no, make us mess free. Make us mess free and restore us and make us new. So that we can live differently, so that we can live the way that you've called us to live, God. God, we love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.